Drive your lunchtime dollars further with the Subway $5 everyday value range. Delicious value with four Subway 6-inch subs at Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Additional costs for extras.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Welcome to the podcast. Very nice to have you along. Rudy van der Stone, our favourite Dutch TV reviewer, joined us this morning. Gee, he hates Lawrence Meany, doesn't he?
Yeah, who can blame him, you know?
I can't.
I have to disagree with Rudy. I mean, I've only encountered Rudy. This is my second time now, being in my second week of the job. But he's dissing all the shows that I really love.
It says more about you than Rudy, I reckon.
Yeah. First it was The Masked Singer. Now it's Have You Been Paying Attention? And I like Lawrence Meany. Good bloke.
Almost like it's the point, isn't it? Almost like he picks popular TV shows and then rips them apart.
It's got the most amount of viewers.
Makes you think. Very disappointed in Greg Martin too. He's left us in shame and embarrassment because instead of commentating, doing his job last night at the Rugby World Cup, what was he doing, Margo?
No, he was doing my job, and that was to be watching The Bachelorette because, you know, only chicks watch that, and then the husbands of chicks who watch it, you know, walk past and it catches their attention and they see a pretty girl and they're like, oh, what's this? I'll sit down for a minute. Lo and behold, they sit there for the whole show and then deny that they ever watched it. But Greg Martin, he gave us a bit of a review and his thoughts on The Bachelor.
He did.
I can't even imagine how grim that pool match between, who was it, Scotland and Russia has to be for Mardo to leave his post and watch The Bachelorette.
Because he loves
Russia
rugby.
To disappoint.
He loves rugby. That would have killed him. That would have just been the worst game of rugby you've ever seen.
I opened up a can of worms today, Brendo, didn't I?
You sure did.
Certainly did. And I feel that it's okay to have a favourite child.
Incorrect.
It seems 70% of Brisbane disagree with me.
Erroneous. You can't have a favourite child. That's why we only have one Nick Cody, because you can't play favourites.
Yeah, it's definitely because I'm not rooting much.
And speaking of not rooting much, you lied to your wife, which is nothing unusual, but it was quite a massive milestone that you lied to her about.
Yeah, my son took his first steps yesterday. My wife had her back turned at the time, not because she said, I don't believe he can do it, to spur him on. She just wasn't watching. He's taken a few steps. I've called her around. She's missed them. But then I said, no, he didn't walk. And now he is off.
It's Mental Health Awareness Day.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we spoke to Dan from Trademart in and around how to have conversations between blokes, particularly on the job site, but, you know, all men.
It's important.
We need to start the conversation. And I think it's, you know, not just men that don't talk. Women don't talk as well. But I think women need to start the conversation with men as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Nick Cody?
Yeah, well, I go and chat to somebody every now and again. I reckon once you've got a certain amount of K's on the clock.
What did you call it?
The brain gym. I had a mate of mine call it a checkup from the neck up.
Mm. Do you do it because you suffer from mental health issues, or you just do it because it's just a good thing to do?
A little bit of anxiety stuff in the past. I had one panic attack about 18 months ago. Not enough that anyone would have noticed, but enough that you go, well, I'd prefer for that not to ever happen again.
Hmm.
And she said, rest up and try and avoid coffee and alcohol. But what does she know?
How dare she?
That certainly hasn't happened. and of course, you can always chat to Lifeline. 13 11 14 is their number. They're always available. Enjoy the catch up.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
I spent last night at Fox Sports covering the World Cup rugby. It was a triple header yesterday afternoon. It was a fair old effort. And I'm here to tell you that that the USA got beaten by Argentina.
Then
the finish of the night, Wales beat Fiji. But halfway through the night, Russia was playing Scotland. Scotland won that, if you're interested.
Oh, no.
Oh, did I spoil
How
it?
Much?
Sorry. Sorry, about 47 or so.
Oh, yeah, Russia's let me down.
All right. That wasn't...
It wasn't the most disappointment.
It wasn't the most interesting. What happens? We go to a little room and watch it, and then we talk at halftime before the match, after the match, and it goes for about 8 hours. One stage I went to the toilet. Russia and Scotland wasn't all that interesting. And I saw the makeup girl down at Fox Sports. She was watching, and she probably should have been watching India versus Bangladesh in a one-day clash or watching the rugby. She was watching The Bachelor, Margo. Now I know, or The Bachelorette.
Yeah,
I think it was.
The Bachelorette was on last night. First night of the new.
That's what
new
she
show.
Told me. So I settled in there for a few moments, thinking I know I'm going to miss some Russia versus Scotland, but I'm up for it. So I asked her what was going on. Apparently, it's the goggle a girl from Gogglebox has gotten off the lounge and become the star of a TV show.
Angie Kent. Yeah, she first came to our screens on Gogglebox a couple of seasons ago, and then she went on to do I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And now she's found herself on the Bachelorette red carpet.
I'm glad you're giving me this background. So I sat there for a while, and it was the night where they hop out of the car. The men hop out of the car, got all their teeth done and their hair done, and everything looks very fancy.
They all look like they've been to an Instagram dentist, don't they, with all the veneers.
Mate, oh, really?
But they're all dressed up, Nick. There was one bloke hopped out, and he was dressed like David Hasselhoff off Baywatch. Now, that's supposed to... Yes.
I have to correct you, because he was actually going for Zac Efron. In the new Baywatch movie. She said the same thing as you. She said, are you David Hasselhoff? And he said, no, actually, I'm Zac Efron. Don't you see the resemblance? And I was like, what a tosser.
Yeah. All right. So he jumped out, and then there was this bloke. He was dressed in fireman high-vis pants. He looked like Mr. April out of the fireman calendar, all buffed up.
Jamie.
I'll let him introduce himself.
My name's Jamie.
Jamie.
I'm a firefighter from Sydney.
You've got muscles and you've got a dog.
And this is a little Rosie.
All right.
Muscles and a dog.
And muscles and a little puppy. And she just somehow he'd done research. I suppose he would have seen her on Gogglebox and she's probably said, I love a puppy. How does that go on the first time you've met a chick? That's not fair, is it?
Well, giving that's her commitment a puppy. Because you've got to look after that dog then. I mean, who looks after it? Does he look after it because he's brought it to the show? Do the producers look after it because they're trying to do a show? Or is she now committed to looking after a dog?
Can I just, any blokes who are out there, this bloke's 39 and he still hasn't found a girlfriend, so he's obviously got problems, but it's the best technique to pick up chicks. Get a puppy. I used to have an idea that I'd just hire out puppies to single blokes and you walk down the road and next thing you know, you're having sex.
That's wonderful.
Works every time.
That's how Tori got me.
She's just described his body openly in front of him. Is that not a bit too much if the roles were reversed?
There's definitely a double standard,
Nick
Cody.
You go, oh my God, you've got a sick rig and a goldfish. You can't just...
Well, hold on. Let Jamie explain about the dog.
Oh, you've already won my heart. I can't even think of anything else now. You've won. Do you want the rose?
Let's wrap up the show.
Where it at? Where the walls is at?
Oh, pathetic. Oh, my God.
She's
all right.
Quite funny. She's super down to earth. She's not like some of these uppity reality TV stars that grace our screen. She's super down to earth. She's super funny. And I think Australia's going to fall in love with it.
All right. Well, maybe that's true. But then there was a weird old twist. Like they just kept on, lemons who couldn't find a girlfriend in real life just kept on hopping out of the car. And then this bloke came out and, what was his name? Brad.
My brother and I finally get to have our chat and it's just so nice. I wanted to just hug him and be so excited to see him, but I had to pretend like we were having our first chat.
Okay, I can't smile too much because I've got to be normal.
They've got an undercover dude. Her brother has come out of the car pretending to want to be with her and he is undercover a spy. I don't think this has ever happened on Bachelorette. Well, here it went a little further.
I really want Angie, obviously, to find someone special that's going to treat her right, that's going to be genuine. For me to gather that information to give to her can only be a bonus for her to find that out.
I think this is a bit creepy.
This? It is creepy. So he's hanging out, drinking with the other bachelors and saying, what do you think about Ange? And they're telling him what this is unbelievable.
It's insider trading, Marto. I think this is a bit of an unfair advantage from the producers of The Bachelorette.
Oh, of course it's unbelievable. A brother, imagine.
It's going to stand out too. Everybody's there trying to get their speeches together and the brother runs out, puts her in a headlock, backs her.
Lights her fun.
Tell her mum you ate the ice cream.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
American actress Jamie Presley-Boyce has come under fire. She's come out and admitted that her eldest son is her favourite child. Now, Jamie Presley has three children, obviously a son, and then she has twins, 12-year-old twins, boys also. So mother of three boys. And she's come under some fire because she put it out on her social media and people have come either in support of her in saying that, yes, my eldest is also my favourite. And then people have also come out and said, you cannot admit to having a favourite child because of the detrimental effect it possibly could have on the other children who aren't your favourites.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's okay, Marto, because I think deep down every parent has a favourite child, whether they're willing to admit it or not, or whether they're willing to say it out loud or not. I feel like at times throughout raising kids, you most definitely have a favourite. And I think possibly your first child is always the front runner on that.
You reckon?
You've got two, so it might be a little harder because you've got to pick one or the other. It's a 50-50 option. And Nick, you've only got one. But Marto, did you ever have a moment in your parenting where you preferred one over the other?
Oh, every kid has their moments of highs and lows, but there's never, ever, ever been, and Kath and I talk about it and go, yeah, is he going all right? Is she going all right? There's never been a favourite, ever.
Well,
you can't do this.
I disagree with you because I feel like every parent outside of you, Marta, and whether you're willing to admit it or not, I still think maybe at some point you have a favourite child, you know, one that you're going to leave more to in your will potentially.
No way.
Split it 50-50, you reckon.
What are you telling me that of your kids, how many you got, three or four?
I got four.
Four. You've got, have you ever told one of them that they're your favourite?
Well, I think the mistake I've made is telling one of them that he was my least favourite. That probably didn't go down so well. Well, in an effort not to offend anyone or, you know, call one of them my favourite, I actually ended up calling one of them my least favourite, which I think was definitely worse. And he heard me and he was like,
that?
Oh, least favourite, am I? Well,
which
I made
one?
The mistake of doing that once, Nick Cody. I'm not doing it again.
Who was it? Come on. Just
I've only got two boys, so you've got a 50-50 chance.
Right.
It's one or the other. But I reckon you can have a favourite child, Marto. You don't reckon you can. I reckon we need to do one of these.
The Big Breakfast's Can of Worms.
Oh, Margo, no.
Open.
Nick Cody, you only have one kid. But
yeah.
When you
but
have
God,
more,
he goes from my favourite to my least favourite, just depending
already.
On how he sleeps.
Hold on. Check with all the experts who are doing their own parenting out there. I don't reckon, you can't. Or they might tell us how it's destroyed their child psychology when you do.
Darren from Ipswich. Do you think you can have a favourite child?
Absolutely.
Okay, good, Darren. Oh, great
who's
way
yours?
To start.
That doesn't necessarily mean you should be spurting it all over the radio, though.
Well, why did
well,
you
you're
call
about
in,
to.
Darren?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I've got my my three and I've got my specific favourite one, yes. However, would I ever tell these people? Absolutely not.
Very good.
Do your kids sit there and wonder which one it is? Now they're like, well, he's got one and there's three of us, so is it me or is it you? No, it can't be you. It's definitely got to be me.
Might have to find out tonight.
Darren, how did you determine that you had a favourite?
Once they all went through the terrible twos, then I just sort of picked which ones sort of went through the best.
Right. You're not really giving them enough.
Sorry?
You're not giving them enough time, I think, if you've decided by the age of two.
No. They're all a bit older now. They're all over five. And just, yeah, as you guys have said before, it's more of a difficulty thing. It's more of a who's caused me the most trouble.
Yeah. Is your favourite one more like you or your wife?
Oh. Honestly, probably my wife, to be honest.
Well, that's nice, at least. There's a positive out of it. Thanks, Darren. Phil, do you have a favourite child? Do you think it's possible to have one?
No way you can have a favourite.
No way.
I've got two teenage daughters, and even though they both give me an ulcer every now and again, I love them both.
I was going to say, neither of them would be your favourite, would they, Phil?
you're telling the truth sometimes about their behaviour, though, don't you, Phil?
You do, mate. You do. And, you know, like there's times I'll test you, there's no doubt about that, but I don't know if I like one more than the other. That's wrong.
Well, Jamie Presley has come under fire because she's openly admitted on her social media that her favourite child is her son, Desi. And she said, yes, that's right, I have a favourite son. Although I love all three of my boys with everything I have in me.
What was she hoping to achieve by doing this?
Well, clearly some backlash because one Instagrammer wrote, I feel sorry for your other boys. I can't imagine how this must make them feel. This is heartbreaking. Yeah. And I completely understand that sentiment, but aren't we trying to raise resilient kids? Here.
Well, all that's going to happen is that Desi's going to get beaten up by the other two. That's all she's set him up for.
Big time. 70% of callers saying you can't have a favourite child. Absolutely not.
I'm in the minority, it seems.
Keep it
Bindless.
To yourself.
Yeah. 30% so of people that can pick a team.
Yeah. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Well, it's time again to have a look at TV and how do we do it? We do it with the cruelest, meanest TV reviewer in Australia, Rudy Vanderstone.
Good morning to you, Marto, and to you, of course, Margo. Marto, Margo, you're going to have to change your nickname, Nick Cody.
Codo.
To Cardo. Short for cardamom. And of course, our young Brando there. Always a pleasure to speak to the Big Breakfast. Now, I'm reviewing today. Have you been paying attention again? Because the Moon Man, your old sparring partner, was on Monday night, and so it's time to take him down to Chinatown. This week, I'm reviewing Have You Been Paying Attention? The worst name for a television show since Behave Yourself. The short-lived load of rubbish on Channel 7, The Moon Man was in, with everybody's favourite Scotsman from The Voice, Darren McMullen.
Oh. No.
You know Darren, he's the man that will host anything Rove or Shane Jacobson turns down. It's a galaxy of stars, isn't it? Now, Have You Been Paying Attention is a comedy panel quiz show that routinely ruins my Monday nights. First of all, Marta, my wife, can never remember the name of the show. You, Rudy, she says, it's time for How Much Attention Did You Pay? or Are You Paying Attention? Yeah, anyway, she puts me in front of it, and then I have to watch the emaciated Tom Gleisner pull his fishbowl skull onto my television screen. An aging man that needs to quit. He's either taking too much cortisone or he has an iodine deficiency, but his head is as big as George Michael shortly before George passed away.
Oh.
Then there's the stellar lineup of talent on the panel who clearly have the answers before the show, so they can write a bunch of jokes so lame it's like a polio ward in the developing world. That's lame.
Yes.
Last night, that included the Moon Man. Here's his intro.
Lawrence, we haven't seen you for a while. What have you been up to lately?
Oh, I've just been waiting for the call, Tom.
Oh, well. The call.
It's been 3 years. I don't know what I did wrong.
I know what you did wrong, Moon Man. You're probably drunk again. Somebody get him into rehab. Anyway, the Moon Man was sitting in the bottom left position, a position normally reserved for comedians. Have you been paying attention? I definitely will in the future. So when my wife reaches for the remote control on Monday nights, I'll taser her or just run for my life. It's no good, but at least it's not celebrity fame game, a disease from which there is no cure.
Oh, God.
I hate both of these shows. Goodbye.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, I've got a question. I want to know if I was in the wrong here. Yesterday, my little boy Charlie, turned one a couple of weeks ago, just took his first steps.
First milestones are fabulous.
The timing couldn't be better because I'm off to Perth later on today for gigs this weekend, and all like he's been getting so close for the last couple of weeks. I'll be honest, I've been slipping him little sips of Red Bull. I'm like, come on, mate, I cannot miss this. Yesterday, my wife's making his dinner. I've got the bath ready. We're next to each other in the lounge room playing on the floor, and Charlie just stands up and takes a couple of steps towards me. I lose my mind. I go, lunch, 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 calling out for my wife. She runs in. What happened? Now, my wife is with him all the time. I've got to travel so much for work. She's the primary caregiver of our son. But I didn't want to break her heart and say he just took some steps. I said, I reckon he's pretty close to walking.
You lied.
And picked him up again and he took a few more steps. And I was like, yeah, we saw his first steps together.
You fake celebrated his walking milestone. That's kind of cute.
Am I wrong for? I just said she knew straight away. She goes, "Hold on, he's definitely walked." I said, "No, it was like a stumble, like maybe a half step stumble. There was no way he was walking. Am I in the wrong for just lying to my wife?"
You've jagged that perfectly, mate. Well done.
Yeah, I agree with you, Marto, because first milestones with first babies is pretty special. You know, it's a really exciting time. And as you said, you know, you travel a lot for work, so you're going to miss a lot of them. And my husband was away a lot, you know, during when the kids were little. And so he missed a lot of them. And so when he did get to see them, it was really, really awesome to be able to share that with him. But I think had he have witnessed something without me, I would have been a little bit envious, even though I got to, you know, witness the majority of the first. I still would have been a bit miffed had I missed out on my first child's first walking step. So I think you've done a great thing here, Nick Cody, just telling a little white lie.
There you go. I knew it. Lying to your partner, it's always a good thing.
Well,
am I wrong?
Not always.
Not always.
Wrong takeaway.
No.
Yeah. A Big Breakfast, Triple M.
In some lighter news straight out of Hollywood, boys, Backstreet Boys' Nick Carter and his wife have welcomed their second child, a baby girl, Saoirse. I think that's how you say it. Is it Irish? It looks like Saoirse.
Oh,
is it Saoirse? Is that how you say it?
Is it Saoirse?
You know how the Irish, they do funny things and they...
Siobhan,
but it's spelled with like a B.
Sibian.
Yeah.
Elish.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they've called it Saoirse after the warrior of his wife. Must be an Irish thing. But that's not the only thing out of that that I found interesting. It was that it took them a week to name their child, which I found strange because I was relatively prepped going into the birth of my four children. And whether I knew what the sex was or not, I knew what their names were going to be.
Did you? Hey, can I ask you that? Did you go in armed each time with a male and female name?
Yeah, well, with the first one, we didn't know what she was. She was a surprise, but I had a top boy's name and a top girl's name, and that was going to be the name either way. And then with the two boys in the middle, we found out what they were. And so we had names going in, boys' names going into it. And then River, the last one, she was a surprise. And Corey and I couldn't decide whether we liked his name or my name better. But we used it as a first and middle name. So we always went in relatively prepared. We had discussed it for weeks and months in the lead up to the baby. You know, you generally have an idea before you even think about having kids that you've, you know, names that you like. And so you go in prepared. I don't understand.
There's long sober nights in that 9 months of pregnancy and you're sitting around. That's what you do.
That's what you try
to think about names. Yeah.
You go through all the baby name list, top 10 baby names, top 10 bogan names, which are the ones you want to avoid. And then all the popular ones. And then, you know, depending on styles, there's American style and country and modern and cool. And there's all sorts of different lists. So I don't understand people who aren't prepared going into having their baby and not having a name.
See, I don't mind the idea of just hanging on for a bit. We obviously named our son straight away, but it's like he doesn't need a name. He's not getting a passport or anything. Just
And he's not going to come when you call it. So, because I got mates of mine, and I just checked right then, they did an illegal thing. I didn't realise that. They took about a year. They just called it the bub, and it was the fourth child, as if they'd run out of names. They took a full year before they named it. You're supposed to do it within 8 weeks, otherwise
what was the intention there, Marto?
They just said it doesn't matter. They just called it bub.
Because I understand, you know, people come up with the justification of, oh, we want to get to know the baby and see what its personality is.
But they were just busy.
But that's ever-changing over years of their life, you know, all of the, you know, the terrible twos and the awesome threes and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I just don't understand how people can't name a child instantly. Like weeks. I mean, you've got 60 days to register your baby with births, deaths and marriages.
60 days, surely,
surely you can come up a name, you know, with a name quick smart in the 9 months that you have to prepare for it.
But if you've got four kids, what about if it's a seventh kid? You've got so much going on. You're looking after six kids while you're pregnant and there's, you know, someone else, he's got to work and it's all, you're all over the shop.
Well, I'd like to hope by the seventh kid you're a pro at naming children. You should have it down pat. How long did it take you to name your child? Because I feel like you should be prepared for this. There should be no length of time after the child is born that you haven't named it.
Well, I had a pair of hippie friends. They took a year before they gave their baby a name.
Leah from Browns Plains. How long did it take you to name your baby?
It was pretty instant, really. We were driving along one day and my husband and I saw a sign on the side of the road for a street. It was Riley Street. And he goes, hey, that's a cool name. Do you like that? And I went, yeah, cool. And then a couple of days later, just the name Heath came to us. So it was Riley Heath.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then with my daughter, the day I found out I was pregnant, I had a dream that night I was having a girl.
M1.
And not long after, my husband found a pendant with the letter M, and that was for us a sign that she was going to be a girl with the name starting with M, and we chose Maggie.
I believe in signs too, Leah, because when we were on the way to the hospital...
Actual ones or do you mean like star
signs? Both. Okay. Because omens, I think that... Is it an omen?
Oh, yeah.
But when we were on the way to the hospital with our first, we didn't know whether she was going to be a boy or a girl. So we had a boy's name and a girl's name.
Yeah.
And the number plate that was driving in front of us had the initials MRP. And they're my initials, Margot Renee Parker. And one of the names that we had was Memphis Rain. And I said, we're having a girl and we're going to call her Memphis Rain. That's an omen. See that number plate?
I
thought it was Merp.
Mr. P.
Thank God it wasn't Tallahassee Cyclone. Yeah. Could have been
Mel from Brisbane CBD, how long did it take you to name your kid?
Oh, look, we already had our name picked out for our daughter, but when I was born, my grandparents had already moved to Australia and my parents didn't know what to call me. One wanted to call me a traditional Indian name, one wanted to call me Liesl from The Sound of Music, which was a big movie back then.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So, she was the eldest.
They wrote, you know, the old-fashioned way, wrote to my grandparents who were living here, and by the time the mail got back, I eventually got a name 6 months later.
Six months? Mel,
do you know what they were calling you till then? Were you Bub or something or other?
Oh, all sorts of, you know, baby doll and all sorts of things, yeah, which I still get these days. But, you know, my name is Melina, and it's funny because the Italians think I'm Italian and the Greeks think I'm Greek, but I'm neither. Because it's quite... so, but yeah.
It's funny that that movie thing came up as well because I wanted to call my son Avengers Infinity War and Luke would
back.
Not allow it.
Hey, is it like horse? You know, when people name horses and sometimes they try to sneak a rude one in there. Does anyone ever get knocked back?
Yes.
Yeah, they do. There's certain things you're not allowed to call your children, like God and Elvis.
Petrol.
What about
petrol?
Sir?
Unleaded.
<No.
laughs>
Well, in France, they've banned all bogan names. Can't have a bogan name. If you try to go in there with a Bradian or something, they're going to go, nah, there's actual names. Pick one of those.
It's like Jackson with an X.
Geez, it's time to start that here, isn't it?
Well, that's what happened in New Zealand. You're not allowed to name your kid V8. That's true.
Is that a thing?
That's why they rebranded supercars. Oh. So, and I think that's okay. You can name your kid supercar.
You know what you can do, though, when filling out the birth certificate is put any occupation you like, because my girlfriend's husband put down Jedi Warrior and it passed.
Oh, is he? Wow.
So on her official birth
in
certificate,
his mind.
Dad's occupation, Jedi Warrior.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Hey, we were just having a chat during one of the songs before about we should all be eating a bit more fish, and I think we understand that to be true for our health, et cetera, don't we?
I think it's, I don't eat any fish, Marto. Like, I wouldn't eat fish once a week.
I think, you should be, and that's what we were all saying. Everyone always should be eating a little bit more fish. But I was talking to you about it's getting a bit expensive because there's not as many fish in the sea, la, la, la. Can I just tell you, I used to eat fish fingers. Now, there used to be birds I used to make a 40-pack, and they're about $8. And that's 20 cents a finger.
Is
which
there
they
fish
were very
in
good.
Them, actually?
Well, I think there's traces of there's fish elements in them, but
10%.
There was a time when I used to pan fry them because they were obviously a drunken food. You'd get home late and you'd pan fry them. But there was one night there was an incident where you get home late and you cook one side, you flip it, and then you can fall asleep and there's a fire. After that, I started putting them in the toaster because you can't burn yourself. And then. Later, can I just play you this? And this is where the warning, it's not a health warning, it's probably a safety warning. Mm. This happened a lot in New Zealand, apparently. I went over there, I lived over there a few years ago for about 6 weeks or so, and this ad was on the news, on the telly every night, and it was put by the New Zealand Fire Brigade. They put together a series of ads, and this is how serious the problem is, and I want to make sure everyone's very aware because the Kiwis are. It's called Don't Drink and Fry.
Alcohol is involved in 50% of all fatal house fires. Most of these are caused by people cooking and then falling asleep. So if you're having a few right now, don't drink and fry. Get some takeaways delivered instead. Cheers.
Cheers. How good is that? Now, it's a real incident. Here's another one that they used to run, and this is fair dinkum. Kiwis apparently were dying in house fires after they came home and cooked up.
Every year, hundreds of Kiwi blokes come home from the pub and end up cooking themselves. Don't drink and fry.
So, don't drink. How good is that?
Wow.
My
mum once, when I was a kid, got drunk and tried to cook a roast chicken and fell asleep. And the next morning we woke up, the house smelled fantastic. But I can't imagine going, God, I could go a snack in an hour and a half.
It's the big
anything but a roast chook.
Triple M.
Seems I sent my Instagram into a bit of a spin yesterday afternoon, gentlemen. I posted a little video on my Instagram story. Driving off to the movies with a girlfriend last night. She was driving. I was in the passenger seat. And we noticed something really beautiful that I needed to film. Here's a little, have a little listen to this.
Look at that moon.
That is glorious.
Beautiful. It's a full moon tonight.
Well, it's not, Margot. So, it's a waxing gibbous at the moment. It's a few days away from being a full moon.
Well, that was brought to my attention, Margot. Everyone said, no, it's not a full moon yet, Margot. You're a couple of days out.
Yes.
But they also brought to my attention that it was not, in fact, the moon. It was, in fact, the sun. It was 5:30 in the afternoon. Oh, no. The sun was setting. It was big and round and orange. And they said, ha-ha, you're so funny. Don't you mean the sun? And I was like, what?
Oh, my God.
What did I say? And then I had to go back and watch the video and then went, oh, my God, that's not the moon. It is the sun.
Wow.
Oh, what an idiot.
Gave it away, the blue skies and the...
And just describe it again. Describe it. It was big.
It was big and round and orange.
Yeah. Okay. That probably should have been the giveaway there that it was, in fact, the sun.
I took you outside. It's back again this morning, actually. That big thing.
There it is.
I like to go the other way. I got home after the UFC the other night at 2 in the morning and walked in the front door and go, whew, just before sunset. That sun is still up there. That big old white sun.
The big breakfast, Triple M.
Hey, what about this AFL story coming out of the grand final? Magnificent story. I think we all know Dusty Martin, the heavily tattooed Richmond star. Of course, they won the premiership. That's now 12 days ago, okay? They won the premiership at the MCG. They released details, or somebody did a little bit of digging. Dusty is now over in Las Vegas, as you do. They had their Mad Monday Richmond, and then you get a bit of a holiday. He's gone over there with a couple of his mates, having fun, etc.
End of season footy trip.
Yeah,
Must be doing altitude training, I assume, in Nevada.
I'm sure he is. Sure, he's doing whatever Dusty Martin does, gets a couple more tattoos. But they revealed yesterday that he hasn't picked his car up from the MCG car park 12 days later. So
well, that's a big fine.
Somebody did say, how much is he up for? And they said, hold on, he won the Norm Smith medal. I think we'll leave him. We'll sort this one out. So, and I looked at that and went, 12 days. You just left your car and walked away with no concern whatsoever in the world. And I thought, this happens. I hope it happens to someone else, because I've had a couple of incidents of this. Had a big night out. Could not find my car. All right. Reported it as stolen to the police. They located it 7 days later. It had parking tickets for 7 days in the city in a place called Burnett Lane, which is just parallel to the mall. Yeah, snuck in there one night. Must have forgotten about it. Well, I did forget about it, of course. And the police said, we found your stolen car. It's right near where you told us you left it. So couldn't find it. There's that one. See, I'm careful. I won't drive drunk. So then another one was, I went to the footy one day out at Jeeps at Ashgrove. You can park. There was a big game on. There's about 4,000 or 5,000 people there. They opened up the spare backfield, charged people $5, come in and park. I parked in there. Went home, had a big night, got there at 11 the next day to pick up my car. There was a junior game of footy, like an under-9s game, being conducted around my car. It was the only car left on the field.
Marto, can I ask you a question? You said when you left your car at Burnett Lane, you had 7 days worth of parking fines. I just would assume that it's like double jeopardy. Once you're charged with something, you can't be charged with it again.
No,
so do you just get one fine and then they just have to suck at the fact
every
that they've already fined you, or you get one every day?
Every day they kept putting another one on there.
Load up
your windscreen wiper.
I had a mate down in Sydney that one night, he was doing a gig at the Comedy Store, which is a place in Fox Studios down there in Sydney. He's had a big night, so he's left his car parked, but it's next to the SCG. There was a big game going on the next day. He's on the couch watching TV, and he saw like a helicopter shot of over the SCG as all the fans are pouring in, and he saw his own car getting towed.
No. This sounds like something that it's a bit of a common theme, just drunk men leaving their cars in random places that they can't remember.
I
don't think I've ever left my car somewhere unintentionally. I've left it somewhere intentionally because I had too many drinks and caught an Uber home and come back and collected it the next day. But
sometimes you can't remember. Yeah.
And don't judge us. You thought the sun was the moon.
That's true.
Yes.
That's an awful precedent.
Where did you leave your car and for how long?
Justin from Pimpama, where did you leave your car?
Hey, g'day, how's it going? I went down for a boys' weekend down in Sydney, and we had down there for 3 or 4 days. It was pretty big. And I just remember the last thing I did, we had a few beers before I left, and we all said our goodbyes, drove to Sydney Airport, jumped on the plane, come home, and then went to my car and realised my keys were still at my mate's house in Sydney.
Oh wow.
What happened next?
Mrs. Cum picked me up, and it turned out to be like a week later. I had to wait for my mate to send the keys back in the mail. So I went down, got the receipt out, and it was a $780 fine.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, nice.
That hurts. You won't do that again, will you, Justin?
No, mate, no. I reckon he might. So it wasn't a shock. But
are you listening to Justin's voice and thinking it's a repeat?
It's not. He's not a one-bender man. I can tell.
He's got you one more in you.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Hey, it's World Mental Health Day today, and especially prominent men in the stats for mental health. Margie, you had a couple there.
Yeah, the statistics are really confronting, Marto. One person every 40 seconds commits suicide. That's 800,000 people a year that are dying at the hands of suicide. So definitely something that we need to be talking about and something that we need to be talking to our mates about.
Yeah, hey, let me tell you a story about a couple of young carpenters, Dan and Ed, their names are. They came together on a building site working for a bloke, okay? One was from the bush, one was from Western Sydney. This is here in Brisbane. And they had a third friend. And, you know, they used to get on well, Dan and Ed, and their mate. And he committed suicide.
Their mate.
And yeah, and they didn't see it coming and they didn't know how to deal with it. And they thought her life was just full of laughs and hard work. And, well, actually, I'll let him tell the story because it's led to quite an amazing business initiative that they started called trademut.com, and they're trying to get blokes to talk some more. And like you guys, meet Dan as well. Hello, mate.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Can you tell the story on what's gone on and how, yeah, about your mate and then what came from that?
Yeah, mate. Well, so late 2015, yeah, I lost one of my best mates to suicide, and as is the case, completely unexpected and out of the blue. And I think, yeah, the period following that was super confronting, trying to make sense of, you know, exactly what went on. And so, you know, Ed was a real, you know, great sounding board for me during that time, and we were working together on the tools sort of 7 days a week. And in the time processing that, we had an idea to start a bit of an alternative workwear company. And given what had happened, we thought, well, maybe we can use our sort of funky bright work shirts for good and use them to positively affect the mental health space. So that was the birth of Trademut, and we make funky, bright, colourful workwear in an effort to start conversations about mental health and make an invisible issue impossible to miss.
Because that seems to be the hardest thing, Dan, doesn't it? Men, you know, are generally not great at talking, and that's a very broad stereotype, but it's about starting that conversation. And what does that look like for men?
Well, yeah, I think the funny thing is once you get blokes talking, you kind of can't shut them up. It's just bringing down those barriers to sparking up that initial conversation. But for us, looking at the landscape of the mental health conversation, it is very serious, and it's kind of almost maintained a bit of a depressing tone in itself for a long time. And unfortunately, from our point of view, guys have never really resonated with that kind of tone. So we're trying to take a bit more of a fun and a light-hearted approach and build some real camaraderie around it in an effort to make it easy for guys to open up.
Yeah, a lot of guys feel that there's a negative stigma attached to going and get their mental health looked after. I've got friends that refer to a mental health professional as going to the brain gym or a checkup from the neck up, which certainly takes the stigma out of it. Yeah.
Mate, that's perfect, and I think that's a thing. I think now more than ever, we're sort of coming to realise how positive and how good it can be to embrace the fact that we actually all have mental health, and that going and talking to someone about it is really positive. You know, we had Dave Shillington on our podcast, who we know and love from the Maroons and played for the Kangaroos. And he told us a story the other day about how, he was approached when he played at the Roosters. He was approached by Freddie, who, said, mate, you know, something doesn't seem quite right. You know, have you thought about talking to someone? And Shillo was sort of like, God, mate, you know, I'm a top forward. I don't need to talk to anyone. And Freddie said to him, well, mate, why don't you talk to the guy that I talk to? And he sort of said, oh, wow. Freddie goes and talks to a professional. Yeah, he goes and, you know, goes and checks in every now and then. And he thought, oh, well, if Freddie does it, then it's good for me too. So nothing wrong with going and checking in and just having a yarn with someone.
Absolutely not. And Lifeline are always available, 13, 11, 14. The work shirts look unreal. You can find them at trademut.com. Look fashionable. Start a conversation. Mm. Dan from Trademut Workwear, you're doing great work. Thanks, man.
Thanks very much for having me, guys.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Everyone's going for the Subway $5 everyday value range. 4 Subway 6-inch subs, just $5 each at Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Additional costs for extras.